Get my Bible. Hope you get your Bible. And I don't know if you realize this, it's been a long time. We've been studying this book of Philippians almost a year now, almost. So I think it'd be a good idea just to take you back just for a minute to our introductory remarks on this book, just to remind us that Philippians has to do with, in particular, the control of our mind by the great God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, so that our thoughts are governed by the Holy Spirit, and so that we possess in our day-to-day lives the mind of Jesus Christ. The hymn writer said, "May the mind of Christ my Savior live in me from day to day." That's a new hymn. I don't know if you're familiar with that. We'll try to sing that this Friday. Brother James, fix it up for us today. All right. So, but may the mind of Christ, my Savior, live in me from day to day. That's the objective that's set forth in this book of Philippians. We have touched upon it in every chapter. And as we near the last lap of the book, if you will, or as we make our way through the last chapter of this book, we're given here very specific instruction, this time, not how to think, but what to think about, so that our thought life will be blessed in the eyes of God and will result in a life that is blessed in the eyes of man. All right, so we've come to Philippians chapter 4. Tonight we're going to focus in on verse number 8, Philippians 4, verse 8. And here the Bible says in no uncertain terms, very clear here, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things." All right, so here, our God is telling us what to think about. Now, the objective of the book, if you remember, is rejoicing. The theme of the book is joy. And so we understand that we cannot have the joy that God desires for us to have. We cannot know the full blessing that God desires to bestow upon us unless our thought life is rightly directed. And here the Lord gives us a very specific list of things that we ought to be thinking about at all times, at any given time. Our minds should be right here, not somewhere else. Now, the things in this list are pretty clear cut. They don't need a lot of explanation, but they do need some meditation, some consideration, but they're very easily understood. Now, he's not telling us that we need to get our mind upon nuclear physics. He's not telling us we need to get our mind upon the minute details of chemistry. We're not being called upon to study archaeology or some other difficult field of intellectual endeavor. No, we're being told to set our mind upon what are obviously matters of spiritual well-being. We're being called upon to set our mind upon those things which quite honestly, God himself would set his mind upon. Now, these are things which would occupy God's thoughts. And quite honestly, if you think about it, there's much floating around in the world today. There is much noise being generated by man and machine today that God, a holy God, a righteous God, a just God, a pure God, would never set his mind upon. So if we are to have the mind of Christ, if we are to think like the Lord Jesus and thereby have our hearts in line with the will and the ways of the Lord Jesus, it's going to have to start with the mind. It's going to have to start with the thought life. And that is the intent of the verses that we have before us here. Now, a lot of the reason we worry, and remember, we just came out of a section in this chapter on being careful for nothing and God's peace ruling in our hearts. A lot of the reason we worry is because we listen to liars. We get confused as to whether or not God said what God said is right, or whether or not the latest report we heard on the news is right, or whether what God said is correct, because some minister cast doubt upon the Bible, or some theologian ridiculed the text of Scripture. And so the Bible says we must train our minds to feed upon and to dwell upon that which is true. That's the first thing on the list here. Scripture says in John 17, verse 17, Jesus Christ the Lord speaking these words as he prays to his Father, he says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Now, what you hear reported by men, what is passed to you through some form of communication, well, it may or it may not be true. But much of it is either blatantly false or questionable and impossible to verify. But when you pick up the Holy Bible and you read the words that God has given to man in that blessed text, you may know of the certainty that the words you're reading are true. When you travel to the church house or turn on your Christian radio and a man is reading to you from the text of the Bible, a man is expounding to you what the Bible actually says, not something that he believes God told him in his imagination, not some spine-tingling experience that he had during a moment of ecstasy. No, but when a man is giving you the straight truth, straight from the Word of God, you may know that you are hearing something that is worth keeping your mind stayed upon. The Lord said we should keep our minds occupied with that which is true and think on those things. Okay, so do you listen to Bible preaching on a consistent basis? That'll help you keep your mind in the right place. Do you memorize God's word? Do you dwell upon the things that are written in God's word? It is this, first and foremost, in the list, first thing on the list here, that God has given us, that he wants us to occupy our minds with. What are you thinking about? What are you meditating on? Where does your mind go when it's free to wander? If it goes the wrong direction, do you quickly call it back and say, no, we're not going there. We're staying right here. Truth is what the Holy Spirit desires for us to think about. Next, the Bible says, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest. Well, some things, they're not outright lies, but they are designed to be deceptive. Isn't that right? I'll give you a couple of examples. A young boy meets a young girl, and they don't think that they're young. They think they're mature. Why? Because he has a driver's license. And so they ask their parents, Mom and Dad, can we get in the car together and go down to the ice cream store and get some ice cream? And then we'll just come on home. And Mom and Dad say, that's fine. Have a good time at the ice cream store. And I want you home at 9 o'clock. So off they go. And they race to the ice cream store. They grab the ice cream and they hurry down to the secret parking spot by the lake and spend a little time doing some smoochy-woochy, which Mom and Dad would not approve of because they're Christian parents. And then they race home to get to the house at 9 o'clock. In they come through the door. And the parental authority figure says, "Where have you been?" Answer, "We have been to the ice cream store. And we made it home by 9, just as you requested." Now, did they tell a lie? They did not tell a lie. But were they honest? They were not honest. They deliberately misled others by their words, but their words were carefully crafted so as not to be lies. You know what the Bible says? God doesn't want us toying with the truth, twisting the truth, manipulating the truth, telling only this part or that part of the truth. God wants us to not only be truthful, but to be honest. Whatsoever things are true and whatsoever things are honest. Let me give you another example. There was a thing going on in the United States about smoking. It was a movement or a campaign to get rid of cigarette smoking because it was said to be the number one cause of death in the United States. Do you know, when they do those statistics at the Center for Disease Control, that if you die of a heart attack or die of a stroke or fall down in your home and bust your brains out, that if you smoke cigarettes, they put you into the category of smoking deaths. So when they tell you how many smokers die in America every year, well, they're not lying. Smokers did die, but they're not being honest either. Okay, they're using a partial truth to disturb you about something so they can manipulate your mind. You know, they did the same sort of thing with the COVID-19 death count. Those numbers were not honest. When a man stands up in a church and says, "We believe this Bible to be the Word of God," and then 5 minutes later, he's telling you why the Bible is wrong, why the Bible wasn't translated properly, why you need his private rendering and translation of the Bible, or else you'll never get it right. You know what that man is doing? When he says, "We believe this Bible to be the Word of God," well, he's not lying. The Bible is the Word of God, but he's not being honest either, because he doesn't believe it as far as he can throw the building that he's standing in with his left hand. And so the Bible says to not only think upon the truth, but also think upon that which is honest. That is a full and proper representation of the truth in its every detail. Now that's a big deal. And then finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are just. Now, to justify, we talked about this many, many times, it means to declare righteous. And God wants us thinking upon those things which he has said are right. If God says, "Look not upon the wine." If God says, "Flee fornication." If God says, "No profane language." Well, then you don't have to wonder whether or not secular music and worldly entertainment and hanging out with a crowd that doesn't know Jesus, you don't have to wonder whether or not that's right or wrong. That's very, very clear in the passage, in these pages of the Holy Bible. God has told you what is just. Okay, that is again what he declares to be right and what he declares to be wrong. And friends, he wants you to be thinking about those things which he approves of, not the things that he has condemned. Whatsoever things are just. Just. Is it righteous? You say, well, I listen to country and Western music. That's not righteous. You can't think on that and have peace in your heart. Rap isn't righteous. You can't think on that and have peace in your heart. Rock and roll, man, you can have it soft, hard, easy, fried, scrambled, poached. Those lyrics are not righteous. You know it. Now, come on. This is why saved people who go to church, but go to a church where the Bible is not important, go to a church where the Word of God is downplayed, they're the same people who have so many fears and doubts and uncertainties that they actually believe that a saved person can't know whether or not they're going to heaven when they die. You know, do you know why that is? Because they're thinking on the wrong things. Their thought process is not biblical. It's not governed by the Word of God. And so they cannot have peace in their heart. That's the way that works. The scripture says, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure. Pure. Pure means undiluted, not polluted. People say, well, how far do you have to go before it's dirty? Okay, well, how many drops of poison do you have to put in a glass of water before it's poison? How much mud do you have to put on a wedding gown before it's dirty? Brother, sister, here's what I'm afraid of. I'm afraid of those of you who say you're saved and love the Lord, but your question is always, what's wrong with it? Instead of saying, okay. Your response is always, why can't I? Instead of, yes, Lord. Why is there such a struggle, such a fight in some of your lives to hang on to that which is not pure and to cleave to that which is not holy while professing to love God and to be following Jesus? I'm afraid of that kind of so-called Christianity because the thought process is wrong. And the scripture in Philippians clearly says, if the thought process is wrong, the end result is going to be wrong. And so I'm afraid for those of you who have bought into this modern, self-loving, humanistic, Bible-denying, so-called Christianity that is not Christianity at all, but rather is the fulfilling of the lusts of the flesh with some scripture verses quoted to justify it. Bible says God wants us to think on that which is pure. We're not trying to see if we can look just like a nightclub so that the people who like nightclubs will like our church. We're not trying to look just like a rock and roll band so that people who like rock and roll will like our church. And then we did some public opinion surveys and found out people don't like church. So we quit calling our church a church. It's a fellowship or something else. Why are you so intent on pleasing God-hating lost people in the world instead of pleasing God? Why is that? I'll tell you why. I know why. Because the Bible says you're not thinking on the things that you ought to be thinking about. Your thoughts are not governed by truth, honesty, what is just, and what is pure. The Lord says, think on these things, not those things, these things. Next in the list, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely. Well, violence is not love. Crime is not love. Bloodshed is not love. Hatred is not love. Killing is, and conflict and debate, that's not love. Why do people find so much pleasure in that which is obviously someone else's pain? Oh, I want to read the gossip columns. I want to tune into the gossip program. I want to watch people sit on a couch and reveal the most horrific details of one another's lives and make the audience scream. And maybe they'll even start a fist fight and throw things and curse and swear and make a big show. That's entertainment. That's the kind of shows you're going to see. You consider that entertaining? The Bible says God is love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Jesus teaches one to love their neighbors as themselves, husbands to love their wives, parents to love their children, brothers and sisters in Christ to love one another. Shouldn't we be thinking about things that promote Christian love rather than thinking about the things of this world that bring about so much unhappiness in the lives of those that are given to those things? Whatsoever things are of good report is next. Of good report. I got a question for you. There's all kinds of, well, who says it's wrong? Who says I can't do it? Why can't I go there? Okay, young people, if you would not, here's the test. If you would not report that thing, whatever you did, to your parents, or let me start from the other side. If you wouldn't mind reporting what you did to your parents, then it's probably safe. It's probably all right, probably good. Okay. The Christian, if you wouldn't mind standing up in our main church service and telling all the people that you go to church with what you did, what you watch, what you listen to, who you did it with, then what you did is probably okay. But if it would not make a good report, if it would not be a good thing to have that reported far and near to one and all, then I would suggest that you not even think about it. That's what the scripture says. Never mind doing it. Don't even think about it. It's a good report. And then if there be any virtue, well, there's some things in this world that have just no virtue about them whatsoever. If there be any virtue, well, visitation, that has virtue. Visiting the shut-in, people who are stuck in their house, the elderly, that has virtue. Praying for others, that has virtue. Supporting mission work has virtue. Lending a hand to the fallen, that has virtue. Forgiving one another, that has virtue. Those things that are virtuous, the Bible says, think on these things. And if there be any praise, if I spend my day doing that, if I spend my hour thinking about that, whatever that is, will it result in the great Lord and Savior Jesus Christ receiving praise? If so, then that is a good thing with which to be occupied. If not, then it's a waste of my brain cells to even think about it. It's a waste of my time to even ponder it in my thoughts. Think on these things, the Bible says. Things that will result in my Savior being praised. If there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. You know what the word amusement means? Well, to muse is to think. And that little A in front of that word, prefix A, means without. So amusement is to be without thought, no thinking, to not think. Okay. Well, the Bible never told you to be free from thought. That happens to be the snare of these Eastern mystical religions, including, by the way, Scientology, which so many actors are attracted to. Empty your mind of all thoughts, they say, they teach. And that is completely contrary to the Word of God. God did not say, empty your mind of thought. He said, think, think. I want you to use your brain. I want you to use it in the following areas. And if you will use your brain to think on these things, then God's peace can control your life, regardless of the situations and circumstances that may be swirling round about you. It's the peace of God that we need, and God is willing to give it. We've just got to discipline ourselves, govern our thoughts, and direct them to those places where peace and joy and blessing can be found. Whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Amen and amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the instruction, for revealing to us in this verse of Scripture the things that will help us to find peace that you want us to have by showing us the things that we need to be focusing our thoughts upon. Lord, help us to avoid those things that will take away our peace and to meditate upon these things that you've taught us tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.